Psalms 88. Amen. There's something in there today that I want to talk to you all, if I can, from the word of the Lord. And as I was pondering and kind of meditating and studying, I wanted to come here today and I wanted to preach y'all happy. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to preach y'all happy. I wanted to preach till your shoes was smoking. And amen, amen. But God has a way. Amen. Because I've discovered that the devil is busy. And we've been dealing for the last several weeks now. We've been talking about faith. Amen. And I need you all to know that your faith is on trial now. Your faith. Tell your neighbor, my faith is on trial. I don't care what nobody say. Tell somebody else, I'm trying to hold on. Tell them I'm trying to do the best that I can, honey. But come on, be honest with them. Say, my faith is on trial. Paul said, knowing that there's a trial, the trying of your faith. What was that you said, Sister Lori, about Jonah? What you say, a Jonah something? A Jonah thank you in your testimony. God, yeah, the spirit of Jonah. To say thank you. Amen. All right. So if you guys hear that in the conclusion of my message, I got it from Sister Lori that quick. Amen. The spirit of Jonah. But in the book of Psalms, Psalms 88, listen what it says. It says, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Verse 2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. My soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Look what it says, though. He says, I am accounted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more. And they are cut off from thy hand. Verse 6, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance, my friends, far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have cried daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee? Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up, while I suffer thy terrors. I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compassed me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. You may take your seats. Sad, I know. That's a sad text. That's a very sad text, but it's a very true text. Very true text. I want to talk to you all just for a few moments, or as a spirit lead. I want to talk about a depressed faith. A depressed faith. We've been talking about faith, and how faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And of course, we know that faith is a strong belief or trust in someone or something. In fact, it's a belief in the existence of God. And then the biblical definition of faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. When you deal with the word depressed, depressed just simply means to feel sad. Somebody say very sad. It's to feel hopeless. It's to feel unimportant. In fact, it's caused from the suffering from mental depression. So somebody will say, well, Pastor, how do you mix the two? How do you mix faith with the word depressed? Amen. And how many of y'all know depression is real? People are all over the world are feeling hopeless. They're feeling sad. And it doesn't mean because you're shouting and because you're praising the Lord or because God gives you a spiritual lift. Everybody say a spiritual lift. You know, you could be dancing and praising the Lord at 11:30, and by 1 o'clock, the devil can come in and turn things completely around. Sometimes it seems like this Christian walk, like you're on an emotional roller coaster. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to feel the way you feel right now? Because the presence of the Lord is here. And how many of y'all know that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy? But I keep telling you all it takes is one phone call. All it takes is one text. All it takes is just something in the mail. All it takes is for you to just go to work tomorrow morning. And so I want to talk to you about a depressed faith. But then I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, turn the page. All right. First of all, let me just simply say this. Let me say this. Many of life's serious challenges are temporary in nature, but you know, some are not. Some illnesses or other physical conditions are not healed. There are some problems that are never solved. There are some difficult circumstances that never change. There are some troubles that never go away. And so when you look at Psalm 88, it is the pitiful cry of a man who faced an ongoing trial. In fact, he's suffering miserably from a chronic illness that had plagued him from his childhood. And over again, he had cried out to God for healing, but healing never came. Amen. Apparently, his condition worsened through the years to the point that it crippled his entire life. His friends forsook him, and he felt he was at the point of death. Now, you may not understand Psalms 88 unless you've ever been to that place in your life when you felt like you was at the point of death. Not necessarily a certain illness, but sometimes certain things could come your way and you just felt, God, I just can't take no more. Well, let me do a check real quick. Anybody have been there in your life where you just felt that, God, I just can't take no more? And so when you look at the heading to Psalms 88, it identified Hedman as the author. Now, you have to understand, David did not write all of the Psalms. This 88 Psalms is written by a fellow by the name of Hedman. Now, Hedman was one of David's three chief musicians. In fact, he was a primary leader of the worship team there in Israel. So what do that tell us? That simply tells us that you could be serving God. You could be singing Zion songs. You could be the chief musician. Amen. And still trouble and trials will plague you. He was a primary leader of worship. You can find him in 1 Chronicles and in 2 Chronicles. The fact of the matter is, he was respected for his wisdom, and he served as one of David's chief spiritual advisors. Yet, as his only psalm revealed, it's the only psalms that he wrote, and the only thing that this psalms reveal about him is that he suffered intensely. In fact, various commentators have described Psalm 88 as the saddest, as the gloomiest, and the darkest of all of the Psalms. I know you're accustomed to reading, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want." I know you're accustomed to reading, "God is my refuge and my strength and a very present help in the time of trouble." You like the text that says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" But God had this 88th book place right here in this Bible for a purpose. When you look at the psalm, it's voiced by the psalmist, and it is very uncensored. This particular psalm is unfiltered. It just seemed like to me, Diane, that Heman just went completely off. I mean, he was really going through something uncensored. He didn't choose his words. Amen. He just spoke what he felt. When you glance at verse number 1 and 2, he cries to God and asks him to listen. And he says, "God, now I need you to turn your ears to my cry." Now, somebody, you've come here to church today and you need God to turn his ear to your cry. Amen. After all, he has declared in his word that if you call on me, I'll answer you and I'll show you great and marvelous things. And then when you look at verses 3 through 5, amen, he feels close to death. Y'all don't mind if I preach the Bible, do you? I don't know nothing else. I'm just going to preach the Bible. He feels close to death. And then when you look at verses 6 through 8, amen, he believes that God has put him there. In other words, he feels that I am where I am right now because of you, God. And so verses 10 through 12, we have a rhetorical questions about God's behavior. He even started questioning God about his behavior. I'm talking about God's behavior. Y'all know who God is, don't you? He's the creator of the universe. I'm talking about God who don't report to absolutely nobody. Carla, he does whatever he want to do whenever he feels like doing it. In fact, the matter is, we're breathing God's air right now. Amen. Amen. And so here we have the psalmist. He is questioning God's behavior. And then in verse 13 and 14, he cries out to God because he feels rejected. And then verses 15 through 18, he has always felt like God was against him. What a bad place to be. This man felt that God was always against him. And so he feels alone. He feels overwhelmed. He's in despair. He's helpless. His companion is darkness. I don't want you to miss that. His companion is darkness. But then if you continue to read, as we read the text, you would observe a few things. Amen. I noticed that he cries out to God while, amen, believing that God is against him. Who would cry out to somebody knowing that that individual is against you? That just don't make no sense to me. And I, you don't need to be a scholar to understand that when someone seems disinterested in you, you don't continue to go to that person. Amen. If somebody, you know, you just keep turning you off and not answering your phone calls and not responding. In fact, Diane, you're only going to speak to so many people so many times that they don't speak back to you. In fact of the matter is, I already know, you're just going to tell them, "Well, I ain't got to speak to you if you ain't going to speak to me." But when I look at this particular text, I see that he continues to cry out to God. Amen. And he still believes in God. And then in verse number 2, he cries out believing that God might help him. Now, something going on in this man's head, because first of all, you feel that God is rejecting you. You feel that God is not listening to you. But then you keep crying out to him thinking that he's going to help you. Come on. Are y'all following me here? I'm taking y'all somewhere. Notice when you read this particular text, notice the absence of the praise to God. He don't mention nothing about God's good deeds. he don't talk about God's creation, or he don't talk about deliverance, nor forgiveness. In fact, it matters when you read the other Psalms, amen, the other Psalms have some hope in them, Sister Lori. You know, the other Psalms talk about how God will, and the other Psalms talk about what the other psalmist will do. I bless the Lord at all times, and his what praise shall continually be in my mouth. But this is not the case with Haman. Listen, when this psalm closes, this psalm is left completely open. Somebody say it's left open. It's left open. I mean, he just looked like he just stops writing. He leaves this psalm completely open, and it's ending in despair. It ends in darkness. It ends powerlessness. It ends with no encouraging word. When you read Psalms 88, you just really want to go home and put your head under the cover and just say that all hope is lost. Psalm 88 is different from every other psalm about suffering and trouble. In other psalms of lament, there is a transition in which the psalmist is delivered, or his burden is lightened, and his sorrow is transformed into joy. As in these other psalms, Haman, he prays diligently. He prays earnestly, calling on the Lord for help for deliverance. And in his case, his prayers seem to go unanswered. Well, can I encourage somebody here today? You may be praying about something, and sometimes you pray and you feel like your prayers are getting through, and then there are other times you pray and it seems like your prayers ain't reaching past the ceiling. Anybody in here ever prayed and it just seemed like your prayers wasn't going nowhere? He prayed and no deliverance comes to him. No confidence or hope of deliverance is even given to him. He receives no comfort or relief from his suffering. And the last word of this psalm is simply darkness. At the end of this psalm, he's still suffering, and he's still in despair. But can I tell y'all something? With all of that, it's all about your perspective, and it's all about how you read things. It's all about how you interpret things. Because you know what I've discovered, Elder Mason, that as bad as this psalm may sound, y'all don't mind me taking my time, do you? In fact, I ain't gonna preach that long. I'm almost finished. Listen. Out of all of the bad that we read in this Psalms, I notice what he does here is he testifies to the whole church about his infirmities as well as his faith and constancy. Listen, his faith is written all up in here. I see faith all in this text. God, you're not listening to me, but I'm still praying to you. I'm still believing that you're going to deliver me out of my trouble. God, I feel like you're rejecting me, but at the same time, my faith is in you. My trust is in you, that you're going to help me. I like to say that this particular psalmist, he stands as a sterling example of unwavering faith. I mean, I don't know, you got to have unwavering faith. Even when the situation is not changing, you have to still believe God. After years of his prayers for relief going unanswered, he still continues to pray. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, keep on praying. I don't care how tough it gets. You got to keep on praying. I don't care what it look like. Whatever you do, just please keep on praying. Because can I tell you all something? Can I tell you something? This is the epitome of faith. This is the essence of faith. How many of y'all would agree with me that we are a people who want closure in all that we say and do? Something about us, we just have to have closure. The book cannot be left open. We got to understand it all. We need closure. Some of y'all been trying to find some closure in regards to certain things that have taken place in your life. And I come here not to be the bearer of bad news, but to tell you the truth. I know you want to hear something else, but there are some things that are not going to close in your life. I thought I'd let y'all know. There are something, Pastor, that's not encouraging. I want to hear a word that's going to lift me. Well, watch this. If you trust God and you believe God and know that God is in full control of every area of your life and that God knows what's best for you, then you can accept my statement that there are some things that will never close in your life. And it's a trick of the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jay. I just want to talk. It's a trick of the enemy to try to convince us and persuade us that this is going to happen and that the devil is a liar. I'm going to prove it to you in a few minutes. There's some things that's not going to close in your life. It's right here in this 88th book of Psalms. You know, we like for closure. You know, after every story, you know, it has to have an ending for us. You know, the damsel is rescued and the mission succeeds. They live happily ever after. You know, the problem is solved. You know, that make us feel, I can't stand watching series like The Good Doctor. And then when they get ready to go off, they leave you hanging and leave you waiting until the next season. Y'all ain't gonna help me. Oh, come on, y'all know you looking at Greenleaf. You know how you been looking at How to Get Away with Murder. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me here. It's something about when they just, you know, when they just, how do you leave the good doctor laying on the floor getting ready to die and you gonna sit up? He's the good doctor. He's the star, amen, of the episode, and you gonna make me wait till the next series to see whether or not he lives or not. Well, I come here to let y'all know that's the way life is sometimes. That's the way your life is sometimes when you walk by faith and not by sight. That's the way life is. Life seems to have no closure. We don't do well with openness, Lori, and unendingness, waiting to know the diagnosis, waiting to know the outcome of the surgery, waiting as illness lingers on, waiting while we suffer and while we're in pain. I don't know who I'm talking to, not knowing how it's going to turn out, not understanding why, not understanding how. We want closure, God. Why don't you just tell me how this thing is going to end and then I'll be able to deal with it. Come on, have I got a witness up in here? You know, I'm going through all of this and I'm holding on and I'm pressing on and I'm being faithful to you, and it looks like the more faithful I am to you, guess what? The more faithful I am to you, it looks like the more trouble I find myself in. But look at your neighbor real quick and say, hold on anyhow. Yeah, why? Because the Bible is full. The Bible is full of openness. I said the Bible is full of openness. It lacks closure in many instances. Well, can I prove it? When you read Ezra, read the book of Ezra when you get home. Ezra ends with a list of men who had married foreign wives, but then it don't tell you nothing else after that. When you look at Jonah ends with God saying, should I not be concerned about that great city? It is nothing else mentioned about it. When you read Habakkuk, amen, it ends with the prophet praying and waiting on God. Habakkuk, the one who talked about those of vision tearing, wait on it. I'm going to stand my watch on the tower. Well, you done stood up there. Now what you going to tell us? Don't leave your book with open up like that. When you look in Malachi, it ends with the promise of Elijah, but nothing more. When you look at the book of Acts, where, my God, we get our Holy Ghost from. Hallelujah. When they was gathered up in the upper room, when we get where the crippled man was told, was laid at the temple, was said, silver and gold have I none. Such as I mean, it's all kind of good stuff recorded in the book of Acts. But then the book of Acts ends with Paul under house arrest in Rome. What kind of ending is that? Hallelujah. There's no details that's ever given in regards to the deaths of the apostles. What happens to any of the churches, Elder Mason, that are mentioned? There's never no closure there. Everything is left open. But can I encourage somebody here today? This is the epitome. This is the essence of faith, because it is faith expressed in the face of not knowing. In other words, God, I don't know. That's what faith is. I don't know. I don't understand. I just don't know. That's what faith is. Not knowing how things are going to end. Not understanding why he's where he is in the situation. Having no evidence of how God will act and come to his rescue in the deepest of despair and powerlessness. Listen, somebody, you come to church here today and you want to know, God, how did I get here? Come on. Somebody, come on. I didn't sign up for this. I did not. When I accepted you as Lord and Savior of my life, I did not sign up for all of this. Oh, I'm going to feel like preaching in a minute. I didn't anybody feel like saying, God, I didn't say, come on, you be honest while I'm preaching. God, I did not sign up for all of this. I need some closure. Fact of the matter is, when you look at the life of Brother Abraham, the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, when he was told, get thee out of thy father's house and away from your kindred to a place that I'm going to show you. He had to step out by what? By faith. He had to step out believing God. And then when you skip down to that 15th chapter, God made him a promise, Elder Mason. He's going to be a father of many nations. And you're reading that 15th chapter where Abraham, Sister Janet, said, look, I'm childless. How dare you give me a word that I'm going to be a father of many nations and I can't even have one child? And the Bible said God took him out there and put him up on a high mountain and showed him the stars up in the sky and told him, just as you can't number the stars that's out here in the sky, he said, guess that's so I'm going to bless your seed. You don't see it right now, but I'm going to bless you. Come on, you ought to talk to your neighbor and say, you don't see it right now, but say, God's got a blessing with your name on it. I just want to talk to y'all for a few more minutes. God's got a blessing with your name on it. You ain't going through what you're going through just for nothing, but you got to hold on. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hands. When you look at the Corinthian church in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul the apostle, first of all, he talks about the preaching of the cross. And he said, and how it's foolish to those that perish. But he said, for those of us that are saved, it's power. How many of y'all know there's power in the gospel? That's what you need to be focusing on, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That there's power in the gospel. And then I like this part, for it said, it is written. God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God says, sometime I got to bring you down to nothing. Y'all don't like this message here, but that's all right. God says, sometime I got to strip you down to nothing for you to really understand who I am. I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. And then he turned around and asked the question, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? We're talking about faith, where you trust in somebody. I'll put my trust any day in God. God's the one that can bring down. God's the one that can put put back up. Because the one that can heal in God is the one that can destroy. And I like this part. I like this part here where he says, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let me tell you something. That's what we rely on, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because guess what? How many of y'all will agree with me that if God don't do it, I know it can't be done. I done made all the phone calls I could make, and I contacted everybody that I thought that could help me. But somebody, you come to church here today and you're in a situation that if God don't do it, then come on, you ought to confess and say, God, if you don't do it, I know you want the person sitting next to you to think you got it going on and everything is all right. The devil is a liar. God, if you don't do it, then guess what? I know that it cannot be done. But watch the 25th verse. He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What a mighty God we serve. No wonder why angels bow before him and heaven and earth adore him. He's an awesome God. He said the wisdom of God, hallelujah, the foolishness of God is wiser, and the weakness of God is stronger, Sister Barbara. And so when we look at him and he believes God, he cries out to God in the depths of despair. He don't know the outcome, but he keeps on crying out to God. He turns to God in belief, even though he feels that God is rejecting him. He believes that God has put him in the condition and that God knows what's best for him. But you see, you got to notice that his cries indicate knowledge of God. You got to really know God if you're going to cry out to God. Oh, look at your name and say, get to know God, get to know God. Because when you get to know God, you don't mind crying out to God, but at the same time you release your faith that whatever God says, somebody ought to shout, it is so. I know normally when I tell you to say it is so, you know, we think about positive things. It is so. I'm coming out this thing. It is so. I'm getting to get a raise on my job. It is so. But what if that's not what God plans for you right now? What if that's not your purpose? Are you still able to say, come hell or hot water, it is so? Why? Because I believe God. When you look at verse 10 and 12, his rhetorical statements reveals a belief in the fact that God, he wants his faithfulness. God wants his power. God wants his trustworthiness. He wanted to be known among men. God wants you to let other folk know that you trust in a faithful God. Hallelujah. God wants you to let folk know that I serve a faithful God, Pat, and that my God is worthy. Is there anybody up in here that declare my God is worthy? Even in the midst of what I'm going through right now, my God is a worthy God. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. My God is a worthy God. My God is a faithful God. My God is a loving God. My God, hallelujah. He's been so good to me. He's been better to me, Ella Mason, than I've been to myself. You need to understand whatever you're going through right now, God wants you to acknowledge that he is God, and beside him there's none other. And if God don't turn it around, he's still worthy of all of the honor. He's still worthy of all of the praise. Sometimes we let our understanding get in the way of our faith. But don't let your understanding get in the way of your faith. Your faith is in God. And God's ways are not your ways. And his thoughts are not your thoughts. And as far as the east is from the west, so are my ways above your ways. And so don't let your understanding get in the way of your faith. Stop saying I can't. Stop saying I won't. You got to say I can do all things through Christ. I can make it through what I'm going through. I know the load is heavy and I know the burden is heavy, but I serve a God who's let me know I can cast all my care upon the Lord, because he cares. He cares about me. My trust is in God. Even though I'm racking, my body is racking in pain, but my trust is in God. I already know that God is a healer. But if God don't do it, my faith let me know that God can heal no matter what. That's what the Lord wants. He wants you to know that you're going to follow him every step of the way. Wherever you lead, God, I'm going to follow. He wants you to trust him no matter what. That's what Haman did. He trusted in God. But tell your neighbor, turn the page, because when you turn the page, he goes from depression. And when you turn the page to Psalms 89, Psalms 89 starts out, it says, I will sing of your mercy, of the Lord forever. Whatever you do and wherever you go, don't let nothing take away your song. You got a song that the angels can't sing. What is that song? I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the crucified one. I might be broke, but I've been washed. I might be sick, but I've been washed. Is there anybody here? And I'm going to close because I feel like preaching. Is there anybody here that can declare, I will sing no matter what? I'm going to sing a song of victory. Victory shall be mine if I hold my peace. Let the Lord fight my battle. Somebody ought to shout victory. You can have victory right where you are. You can have victory in your present state. You can have victory. But sing your song. The Lord will make a way somehow. Yes, he will. Say yeah. Tell your neighbor, turn the page. He said, with my mouth. Hit it. He said, with my mouth, I'm going to show forth God's faithfulness. You ought to tell your neighbor, and look, I'm done. But tell your neighbor, in the midst of what you're going through, that God has been faithful. Come on, tell them God has been faithful. He's a faithful God. He's been merciful. He's been loving. Yeah, I might be down, but I'm not out. I might have to cry, but I got good news that God is gonna wipe away all my tears. I might be broke, but my God shall supply all my need. I might be sick, but the Lord is my refuge and my strength, my way maker, mind regulator. Somebody say yes, he is. Yes! Yes, he is! Yeah! Yes! Friends walk out on you. That's all right. The Lord promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Ah, yeah. Oh, turn the page. Turn it, turn it, turn it. Turn it. Turn it. Woo. Yeah. Mother Brian, I'm done. But guess what? I made up my mind that I'm going to just walk through Psalms 88. Woo! I ain't going to camp there. I ain't going to try to feel what that psalmist felt. I'm going to just walk through it. Because I got to get to Psalms 89. Where I will declare the Lord's faithfulness. Yeah, yeah. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Woo. I'm done. I'm done. Edmund's story was left open. I'm done. But this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. That's my story. That's my song. That's my song. That I've been born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. That's my story. That's my song. That when it's all over, my faith is still in God. Is still in God. He had a depressed faith, but he kept on believing. Somebody, you come to church today, you may not admit it, but you have a depressed faith. It's right here in this word. It happens. It happens. It happens. But the mistake that he made was what Sister Lori talked about in her testimony. She said, I chose to do like Jonah. It's a choice, y'all. I keep telling you guys that. I keep telling you that. I don't mean to be cruel when I say it or insensitive. I really don't. It's your choice. You got to battle that devil. Some of y'all don't. The problem is, some of y'all don't feel like fighting. You don't. You feel like you ain't got no strength. Well, can I help you? You don't have no strength because you're trying to fight in your own strength. But when God is your refuge and your strength and your faith is in God, honey, you keep on fighting. Look at your neighbor and say, keep on fighting. Come on, keep on fighting. I know the devil done scratched you up, but keep on fighting. I know the devil done threw a few blows. Keep on fighting. I know he's knocked you down, but Jesus picked you back up. Keep on fighting. Keep on, keep on. Keep on, keep on. I won't be depressed. I won't be oppressed. I won't sing the blues. I gotta keep on fighting. I gotta tell the Lord, thank you. Come on, somebody say thank you. Come on, say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, you're holding me up. Thank you, you're strengthening me. Thank you, I got my right mind. Thank you. I'm still here. Tell your neighbor, I'm still here. I'm trying to close. I'm trying to close. But tell him I'm still here. I might be wounded, but I'm still here. I might be sad, but I'm still here. I got bags under my eyes, but I'm still here. I'm losing my hair, but I'm still here. I'm turning gray, but I'm still here. He woke me up early this morning. Yeah! He holds me.